From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 16th day of September 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, a CFTC commissioner says it needs to be easier to prove manipulation in the commodity markets. Senator Blanche Lincoln, new chair of the Senate Ag Committee, is opposed to the cap and trade legislation now on Capitol Hill. And the EU says the U.S. is right to want better market transparency in the crude oil trade. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. Also today, farmers, as you know, have had a pretty good financial run over the last 2 years. That won't be the case this season. We'll explore a sobering set of numbers from the Farm Doc team. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, who will help us explore the latest GFS. It takes the cold air out of the marketplace. And we'll do it all right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby December soft red winter wheat at $4.67 and a quarter, down 3 and a quarter. March at $4.87, 3 and a quarter lower, and the May contract at $4.99 and a half, down 3 and 1 quarter. December hard red in Kansas City, $4.80, the settlement price 2 and 1 quarter lower. December corn back in Chicago, $3.36 and a quarter, the final price for the day, down 10 and a quarter for the harvest month. May futures, rather March futures, to 349 and a half, settlement price down 10 and 1 quarter. Now the May, 358 and 3 quarters, down 10 and 1 quarter. And July, $3.67, 10 and a half cents lower. September corn down 10 cents at 375 and a quarter for 2010. Soybeans now, November contract 950 and a half, 9 and a half cents lower. January at 955, down 9. March, 956 and 3 quarters, down 10 and 3 quarters in the May. 956 and a half, down 10 and a half cents. July futures, 958 and a half, 11 cents lower. August contract, 952, down 10 cents. October bean meal, 297.80, down 330. December at 294, down 430 on the afternoon. And the lean hogs at 52.45, down 97 and a half cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $72.51, up $1.58. October in the ethanol at $1.65, down a penny and 8 tenths. Natural gas at $3.78 and 4 tenths, 46 and 4 tenths of a cent higher. October RBOB gasoline at $1.84 and 3 tenths, that's 5 and 3 tenths higher. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, $1.82 and 2 tenths. 4 and a tenth of a cent higher. Propane futures at 96 and a tenth of a cent, up 1 and 1 tenth. And the gold futures at 1,018.90. That's up $13.90. The Dow now at 9,782, just about 99 points higher. And the U.S. dollar at 76.22 and a half, down 0.31. The CRB index at 262.06 is 3.89 higher for the afternoon. And the Goldman Sachs at 473.01 is up 10.29 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Kieser. It's pretty easy, he says. Tonight in the north and central sections should be clear. In the south, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 46 in northeastern Indiana to northwestern Illinois to near 60 in the far south. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies. Highs will range near 70 along the Lake Michigan shoreline to about 80 in the deep south. The extended forecast is, Ed, call for clouds, a few showers that may sneak into the far southern portions of Illinois and Indiana on Friday and Saturday, but most of the two states will remain dry. Scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms may spread further north on Sunday and Monday. Coverage will not be 100%, and amounts will likely remain light in many areas. The best chance of widespread rain appears to be coming later next week with the approach and passage, possibly, of a cold front. More on that when we talk with Drew Lerner later in this program.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You are listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. On the line with us today to take up the agricultural futures markets is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I bet you were on the line a whole lot today with the folks that tell you all about the weather. What'd you find out?
Well, a couple things. Kinder forecast, but I did get a phone call around the noon hour and said that there might be a little cold shot on September 27th of 34 to 35 on one of the ensemble models for the upper Midwest, and, as a warning. But, that's not 32 degrees by any means. First thing you do when you wake up at 4:45 in the morning is go and check the forecast out. Usually, before you go to bed, you check where the markets are, and so it's been a hectic several days. But the big news is, of course, the outside markets put in a very strong performance. The stock market, the crude oil, gold and silver, and, of course, it's been a yo-yo over in the grain markets. We've been extremely busy. The bottom line is that some people are going out as far as October 2nd and saying we're frost-free, and that adds bushels to the bin.
Well, I suppose the good news here is this afternoon, despite the fact that the forecast took the cold weather out of the forecast for the most part, that both the corn and the soybeans, while having loser days today, managed to stay well above the low prices from yesterday.
Yeah, the volume did slow down some. I think we're still looking at some tremendous export sales of soybeans to China. Harvest is going to be slower than normal, and as a result of that, if there's any demand or spot demand, that's going to keep the market somewhat firm. I think the market, a couple of obvious things. The market was extremely oversold. The commodity funds probably got whipped around a little bit, as well as some traders that didn't have a good weatherman. And I think that they probably are on the sidelines waiting with reduced volume, waiting for the next big move.
Well, let's talk about the fundamental factors that are at play. We have a very large soybean crop. Do you think it will get larger to begin with, or is that crop in jeopardy, not from frost, but simply from time and lateness of the planting?
Yeah. Well, my hunch is that the easy one to talk about, of course, is the Illinois soybean crop. And my hunch is that the soybean aphids, the dryness has taken a few bushels away in the last 10 days in the Illinois soybean crop. I don't think if southern half of Illinois would have received another good rain, and it's not until, I think, what, Tuesday, Wednesday of this coming week, we're looking at a chance of a rain. The Delta crop is probably better, so there's some offsets in the game, but as a general rule, I don't think we're looking at a 44 or 45 bushel bean crop as of today.
We'll have to cede again to the great state of Iowa as the number one producer of soybeans. That's the one where Illinois and Iowa tend to have a pretty good fighting match on that one year in and year out. But Iowa will win this year. And, of course, on the corn side, Iowa appears to be going to really win big time with that number two.
Yeah. I had a grain buyer with a large hog corporation call me and said, hey, this still is a wonderful crop. It's maturing, both on corn and soybeans in Iowa, and that harvest obviously will get started soon. Will they ship trains out of Iowa to east of the Mississippi to keep soybean processors going? Probably.
Yeah, well, therein lies one of the problems for farmers in this part of the world is that they may not have that opportunity for the quick ship premium in that case, right?
No, I think there'll be quite a quick shipment premium game played, and a couple things. Demand is strong, and also demand for the export market strong, so a processor isn't going to be able to fall asleep and let beans go to the local export market. And so it's going to be quite a bid war, and I think you're going to see bidding for beans, quick shipment last clear into, I think, middle of October.
Once we get the harvest underway for soybeans, would you be less friendly to that marketplace?
I think you're going to have to be friendly to the U.S. soybeans clear up into the March-April timeframe.
Okay.
That we're basically the only game in town. The world's out of beans. The U.S. is still going to be the market the supplier of beans,
right.
And beans will be strong clear into South American harvest.
So fundamentally, you just say until they get harvest, no matter what they've got listed there, that until they get harvest,
the United States
is the only game in town. How about on the corn side? Have you changed your attitude in corn yet?
Well, the problem with the corn market is we're under the cost of production, and there's going to be a lot of people beat up in the corn market. The cost of drying is going to be expensive. The cost of storage is going to be expensive. And unless you've made sales, have good drying capacity and good storage capacity, you're going to get beat up, and you're going to have to play the futures market in a good fashion in order to get some of that income back.
You want to talk about the outside markets for a bit today?
I think the big factor here is industrial production was up, the crude oil's up, the weaker dollar. Those things are extremely supportive. And, of course, we have to second the idea of the Bernanke's idea, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, that maybe we're awfully close, if not there, on the recession being over.
All right, Paul, any final word before I let you go?
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Thanks much. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to listen to what Paul had to say again, you can always do that. It's at willag.org, willag.org. If you can't get to the web, can't hear us on the radio, try the phone lines. The number is 217-333-3434. Updated at just about 10:15 and 3:15 daily with the opening and closing numbers and a bit of analysis. It's 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal.
Support for Illinois Public Media comes from Syngenta, featuring AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids, designed to give you up to 38 bushels more per acre if you have rootworms, and an average of 3 more even if you don't. More information on Syngenta's AgriSure 3000 GT hybrids is at agrisuretraits.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll take us through the agricultural news for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, a CFTC commissioner says that U.S. prosecutors need an easier way to prove manipulation in commodity futures cases in order to better protect the market and consumers. Bart Chilton says there are impossibly high standards in place for the CFTC to prove manipulation, resulting in a dismal record of prosecuting suspected offenders in the commodity arena. He called for unprecedented changes in the legal standard required to prove manipulation. Currently, the CFTC must obtain help from the U.S. Department of Justice or other state or local criminal authorities to prosecute cases in a criminal fashion. Chilton estimated two-thirds of all cases the CFTC refers to criminal authorities, such as the DOJ, are rejected. The new Senate Agriculture Committee chairman says that she opposes cap-and-trade legislation, which she says would disproportionately place the burden of reducing emissions on rural America. Blanche Lincoln, a Democrat from Arkansas, says, quote, "It's a deeply flawed bill, and I am not going to support it." The House bill uses pollution allowances and carbon offsets for businesses to trade as greenhouse gas emissions are capped and forced to be reduced every year. The bill would require the country to reduce emissions 17% by 2020 and up to 83% by 2050. It has provisions that would exclude agriculture from emission requirements. The European Union has joined the U.S. in calling for action to improve transparency in oil markets. That, according to a draft EU document released today, the United States is expected to call on the group of 20 nations to increase oil market transparency when the group meets on September 24th for a summit in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The new chief executive of the U.S. Grains Council is Tom Doerr, former U.S. Department of Agriculture Undersecretary for Rural Development. Doerr says that within 10 years' time, the U.S. will likely be producing as much as 17 billion bushels of corn per year, more than enough to meet rising consumption by the ethanol industry, livestock feed needs, and the import needs of foreign countries. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program and of Commodity Week, both of which you can hear anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Just one of the many ways that you can get in contact with the information we provide from Illinois Public Media Agriculture.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Now up next, you know, Illinois farmers will operate at a loss this season. The FarmDoc team at the University of Illinois has plugged in cost and income for the 2009 season, and it's not pretty.
Net operator returns for 2009 in central Illinois are projected at minus $8 per acre for corn and minus $15 an acre for soybeans. The numbers are projections made by the University of Illinois FarmDoc team and can be reviewed online at farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Team member and farm management specialist Gary Schnitke helped compile the data.
2009 looks pretty low. What we have is, you know, reasonably good yields, and we're projecting reasonably good yields based on what NASS is saying. Prices that are down. For example, in our budgets, we're using a 325 corn price for a season average for 2009. And that results in lower revenue. But the other thing about 2009 is we had very high cost, led a lot by fertilizer. So our non-land costs, production costs, which would include everything but, you know, land cost, were over $500 for corn. But the combination of that causes projections for returns for 2009 to be close to zero. And may in fact be negative in some cases. And again, that would be the lowest for, oh, at least 10, 15 years, or at least back since we started doing these projections.
Returns in 2009 include an acre payment on corn of $25 an acre. This $25 payment represents an average payment across acres enrolled and not enrolled in acre. The 2009 return level, says Gary Schnitke, would usually indicate farms will face financial stress. However, returns in 2007 and 8
were above average, and many farmers built financial reserves that should carry them through the low-income year of 2009. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Usually on a Wednesday afternoon, right here on the Closing Market Report during Illinois Public Media's program, we talk with the folks at the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. They're all in a meeting this afternoon, so not capable of doing that. Hopefully Jackie Vakes will join us in just a bit. She's at Stuart Peterson in Champaign. But I would like to remind you that you can always visit our website and catch up on all the agricultural weather and agricultural futures news and analysis. It's at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you can't get it on the website and you can't listen to us on the radio, dial this number, 217-333-3434. And if luck is with me, Jackie Vakes is also with me on the telephone line to talk about the futures markets. And that sounds like a radio station that's coming from Stuart Peterson Group. So that is not the case this afternoon. We'll hang on a second and hopefully Jackie will show up. A couple of things that I do want to remind you of. Also coming up during the harvest season is that you make sure you take a nap in the afternoon. I'll start telling you about that because it's important during the harvest season that that happen. Farmers need their rest. Actually, everybody needs their rest, but farmers are putting in a lot of hours, and we'd like to get them some rest in the afternoons, maybe in the morning too, but at least shut down the combine in 15 or 20 minutes and close your eyes. If you don't go to sleep, at least you get a little extra rest. And then the other thing is that tomorrow morning we'll be talking about rural health insurance. I'll host a program on the flagship station for Illinois Public Media, which is WILL 580. You can listen to it later online if this is not the radio station you listen to the Closing Market Report on. And we're going to talk about rural health care with Paul McNamara from the College of Agricultural, Consumer, and Environmental Sciences. That's at 10 o'clock Central Time tomorrow morning. You can always access that program under Focus 580 at will.illinois.edu. Jackie Vakes is on the line with us this afternoon now to talk about the agricultural. Well, she's not there yet. Well, that's all right. We won't talk to Jackie then, probably this afternoon, but thank you for being with us right here on this radio station. In just about a minute or so, we'll either join news or we'll hear from Dave Dickey with This Day in Agricultural History. And then 2 minutes after that, we'll catch up on the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Creme de Menthe Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1879, Frank Luntz was born, and American entomologist, museum curator, educator, conservationist, and writer. He was one of the leading U.S. entomologists of the first half of the 20th century. He taught that insects were an integral part of the environment. In 1898, William S. Burroughs died. An American inventor, Burroughs invented and manufactured the first adding machine with a printer. In 1904, the first balloon used for meteorological research in the U.S. was released in St. Louis, Missouri. The balloon carried instruments that would return to Earth when the balloon burst. Since the first launch, literally millions of weather balloons have been launched by the National Weather Service and its predecessor organizations. And in 1965, the Green Acres TV show debuted. Running until 1971, the show featured the yearnings of want-to-be farmer attorney Oliver Wendell Douglas, who purchased Sight Unseen, a 160-acre farm in Hooterville. By the way, one of our favorite episodes has Douglas's wife Lisa telling the folks of Hooterville that her husband was a ruthless cow killer. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. On the line with us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast is Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, the market got scared yesterday. Any reason to stay that way?
No, not today. It's going to be scared the other way. The midday models came out today and suggested that there was no cold air. Isn't this fun? The models continued to flip-flop back and forth, the GFS model in particular, controlling the emotions on the Board of Trade floor, and it looks like that will continue to be the roller coaster ride that we're going to be on for a while. I fully expect colder air to be back in the forecast again in future model runs, but this midday model run took away a big part of the cold, in fact, all the cold. There's nothing threatening on the charts anywhere in this two-week forecast that came out at midday today. If that were to verify, of course, there wouldn't be any reason for anybody to be worried about anything, so the market reacted appropriately. But in reality, we still have to keep a close eye on the situation. I don't think we're done with the coolness. Many of the other long-range models were on board this morning with the cool threat coming in for the upper parts of the Midwest. At some point in the 2 weeks coming up, and I think World Weather Incorporated's official stand on this thing is that we are going to see some cooler than usual weather for a brief period of time in the latter days of September and maybe into the early days of October, with a frost threat and maybe a possible freeze threat in the northwesternmost parts of the Corn Belt. This will be mostly up in the Dakotas, Minnesota, and parts of Wisconsin, maybe northernmost sections of Iowa. But we are not going to just buy into the advertised cold that was out there earlier this morning until we get closer to the event. This is something that's 8 to 10 days away, and I think the market is trying to trade it like it was just later this week. So we need to be careful and cautious of the event and see how things pan out as we get a little bit closer to the event. Once the volatility in the markets or in the models is removed, then of course the volatility in the market will also go away as well.
Yeah, so those 60-degree day high temperatures going away too, or is it just the low end that's going to disappear?
No, actually, the models were warmer all the way around, so temperatures in the big part of the forecast period were running in the 70s and some lower 80s. There were some 60s that were still scattered around, but they didn't last very long, according to the pure model data. But this midday model run of the GFS almost always has this problem with being a little bit warm. If there's any kind of a weather extreme underway, this midday model almost always makes it more intense instead of mellowing it out as it should. So I think a lot of people are on board with that. As we come out to the evening model run tonight, we fully expect to see a little bit of the cold air to be put back into the models. I don't think it'll be as cold as it was yesterday to cause the frenzy again, but I do think that it'll be colder again this evening.
And very quickly, we don't have much time left. When would you feel comfortable with the forecasts that come out from the GFS?
Well, when we start seeing consistency in the model runs from one run to the next, we have to see the same dates being advertised as being cooler, and then from one day to the next, we need to see several model runs in a row advertising the same kind of thing. We're seeing a little bit of this in the international model runs, but even they are too far out in time right now for us to really have confidence. So if we're going to have an event show up in 8 or 9 days, I would say probably 4 or 5 days from now we'll know a lot more about it.
Drew, thanks so much.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.